Welcome. Thanks for listening. This is a brand new podcast from the classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary. And with me, I'm the host, Reverend Lee Johnson. But this podcast here featuring the Reverend Dr. Maynard Kerner, President of Heidelberg Theological Seminary, and the Reverend Dr. J.P. Mosley, a full-time professor and academic dean at Heidelberg Theological Seminary. So thanks for joining me, gentlemen.
You are welcome. It's good to be with you this afternoon.
And before we get started, we're going to be doing a series of podcasts on worship. But since this is from the classroom of Heidelberg Theological Seminary, why don't you take a moment, Dr. Kerner, and tell us a little bit about Heidelberg Theological Seminary.
Well, Heidelberg Seminary is a fairly new seminary. It is kind of an unusual seminary in that it is not fully, in the traditional sense of the word, a denominational seminary, but it is under the oversight of a local consistory. And its very purpose is, number one, to prepare men for the pulpit for the RCOS. But we don't limit student enrollment to that by any means. We are ready to serve students from any other Reformed or other area that they want to come and learn Reformed theology. The other thing that I want to mention that we're unique about is that we really emphasize the idea of, in addition to the academic, you really need to be trained how to in terms of ministry. Ministry is both a vocation and an academic pursuit. And so it is important to know, and I believe it's really important to know within the context of where you're going to do ministry. So if you're going to be a pastor in the RCOS, you need to know what that is like. So I guess that's a little bit of what I would say about Heidelberg Seminary.
All right, we are here today to begin a discussion about worship. And I'm just going to start with John chapter 4. Verse 23 and 24, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So the first question is, if we've decided to do a podcast and a series of podcasts on worship, why? Why is worship the topic that you think is worth discussing and needs to be examined in detail?
I think a number of years ago, someone coined the phrase, the worship wars. Worship is really an issue that is on the forefront in evangelical Christianity these days. But I think even more so, given the current situation with the pandemic, I think it's really important that we understand what is biblical worship, how we practice biblical worship, because it's my conviction, in fact, and we can talk about that at some length, but it's my conviction that the pandemic, which is, of course, something sent by God, and He uses it in many different ways, but it is a real test to worship, because at the core, worship is meeting with God and meeting with one another.
I would say, since the very inception of the church, whether, you know, even before Mount Sinai, there's always been this attack against the very worship of God. You go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. What's the issue between Abel and Cain? How they worshiped, what they brought to God as a sacrifice. One God favored, the other God, well, he didn't. And so what does Cain do? He rises up and he murders his brother. And that could be a good place to start the idea of the worship wars. You know, that's been the very postmodern thing to say, hey, worship's at war, and then you get certain churches that want to get back to this very arcane, very old way of doing worship. Well, how about we stay in the current setting and we continue to worship God according to the way He's given it to us in His Word, where He does, as we'll see over this whole series, actually give us an order of worship, tell us what's acceptable in His worship. We don't need to be coming up with our own ways, which is what Cain was doing. We need to be worshiping the way God has established the way His worship is supposed to be done. And I think the other wonderful thing that you do see in Genesis 4 is God was there. He was present. And there's the aspect of, in the Bible, when it talks about worship, not only being in the presence of God, but you're in the presence of others, is that you are there physically face to face with the individual. That's the Hebrew idiom there. It's face to face. It's not that I'll just watch it later, or I'll listen to it later, or let me read the manuscript at another time. No. Worship is a time-sensitive, time-honored moment where you're actually in the presence of God with other people. I, tongue-in-cheek, sometimes will tell people, if you have a hard time getting there on Sunday, what do you think heaven's going to be like? That's, we're going to be with the people of God all the time now when we get to heaven, in the presence of God. And worship is a taste of that. Abel tasted that. Cain didn't.
Well, in fact, there is a term that Neo-Orthodox likes to use in encounter with God. But there's a biblical sense in which worship really is an encounter with God. It's a meeting with God.
So let me just throw this possible objection out then. God's omnipresent. We all agree on that. We're never apart from the presence of God. The highest mountain, the lowest depths of the sea, I can't get away from God. In a sense, am I not always meeting with God? Why is worship then this special encounter with God?
Well, that's an excellent question, because obviously God is wherever we are, and so whether it's around the supper table with your family, you can even call that worship in a sense. But there is also in particularly brought out in the Old Testament that there are places where God is present, and it's different than when he is just always present. For example, when the tabernacle is first opened up, or when the temple is dedicated, it talks about the presence of God coming into the Holy of Holies. In other words, there is a presence of God which is special, which has to do with when we meet with God in worship. It's different than the word was used earlier, face to face. It's different than the ordinary presence of God in all of life.
Absolutely. The biblical authors are very clear that God doesn't live in buildings made by hands, but yet it does say his presence was there. And so while we can understand God being across this whole world, in everywhere present, it's when we enter into worship that we as sinners need to hear the saving grace of Jesus Christ, continuing to be made holy by the Holy Spirit. That has its root in the worship experience. That has its root there when we have God's Word open. It used to be, you know, we live in a very, very wonderful time where, you know, you both have Bibles in front of you. I have a couple of Bibles opened up on my computer. I could pull out my phone and have another Bible opened. That used to not be the case. And so church used to be the place where you would gather to hear the Word of God. And I think we've taken it for granted that we have it now. I used to think that country song was saying there was dust on the Bible. I guess it was bottled, but anyway, you know. But I wonder how many Christian homes today that we would find dust on their Bibles. We don't, or they only pick it up when it's time to go to church on Sunday. You don't look at the pastor's sermon until it's there on Sunday. And you're, as a family, now having to look at it. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about worship. There is because of the fall, there is that need to separate a certain time out of the week to where the body of Christ can gather, corporately gather, to celebrate and to hear of the saving news that God has redeemed them, that Christ has died for them, was raised for the dead for them, and that the Spirit is applying that work in their lives.
Well, you did start by mentioning that the worship wars, and worship has been particularly discussed quite a bit during this pandemic, and you both talked about not just meeting with God, but meeting with other believers. why can't that meeting, I mean, where in Scripture does it say that we can't have that meeting on Zoom? I mean, where, you know, it's sort of like the old Brady Bunch starting, where we're all in our little boxes.
Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares. I mean, you often hear people say, well, you know, we have to love our neighbor, and that's why we stay away. Where would you go in the Scripture to tell me that we really need to get together?
Well, I do want to be very quick, and I appreciate that question. I do want to be very quick to point out that certainly there are times in which meeting together for worship is not possible. Even here in the Midwest, when we have a blizzard on Sunday morning, it's not healthy to go to try to get to church and have worship when it's dangerous to be on the road. And there are times in which, for health reasons, it is dangerous to go out. And we recognize that. Now, you mentioned Zoom. I think that kind of brings, you know, it's sort of a two-edged thing in that it is great that we have that avenue, but it can easily become a crutch as well. It can easily become a way to get away from meeting together with God's people and coming to His presence with worship.
Well, even the author of Hebrews tells us not to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. When God is inspiring these authors to write these words, you know, it's the same God that understood Zoom was coming. Right? Mm-hmm. It's the same God who said we still need to assemble together. He could have said, well, it'll be okay if you just stay home and pray. You just stay home and pray. You stay home and pray. And then y'all just consider these passages on your own. God could have said that. Well, Zoom wasn't around back then. But He didn't. He said, don't neglect the assembling together. Don't neglect the congregating together. Which hints at what you see throughout the Old Testament and you see in the New Testament. You leave home to come with the other people. Now, yes, for those that are sick, the Bible gives them excuse to not come. Those that aren't well, maybe they're not sick, but they're not well. We would say today they have pre-existing conditions. The Bible actually gives them excuses, especially in our circumstance today, to not be in worship. The church has existed in times where there was physical persecution. They still gathered for worship. They would hide out in catacombs. They would go out in the fields, go out in the desert. They would still gather. And they knew that if they were caught, there was the potential of death. At least, you know, they could lose their tongue or have their hand chopped off and be called a confessor. At worst, which could also be understood at best, they would be martyred and go on to glory. We're not in that situation right now.
Not in this country.
Not in this country. In the church on the globe, absolutely. There's several countries that are going through that type of tribulation today. In this country, what are we facing? We're facing an enemy we still don't know much about. It's a virus. It's a disease. And the Bible gives reason and cause for people who are sick, who are not well, to stay home. And we need to impress that upon people. The elders, on the other hand, they're still told to go and visit the sick, pray over the sick. So there is that task and responsibility of the church to be mindful of those that aren't well. And for us to sit back and make them feel guilty for not coming when they aren't well, I think we're missing out that. So while we say worship is to be in the presence of God's people on Sunday, Zoom is a great opportunity now. Just like at the Reformation, the printing press was a great opportunity to get sermons published and reach to those shut-ins through the printed word. Now we can do far better. We can reach them live. It's not the same. I wouldn't say they're worshiping, and I just put air quotes on for a radio show. I wouldn't say, but they're still there hearing the word of God. Is that not a means of grace still?
Well, I would think that we could also argue that while Zoom is a great gift And it does give us the opportunity to be able to at least have that. And we've always had shut-ins. Just
right.
That now we have people who are shut-ins, not in traditional sense, but it's dangerous then to go out and go to
that's
worship
right.
or to go other places as well. And that's fine. I'm not in any way trying to put a guilt trip on someone who really truly ought to stay home because of health reasons. And that's a personal call. But I think there's also a sense that as the congregation meets, and they are a part of the congregation, they've worshiped God all of their lives perhaps, that in that sense, they still have that sense for them that the congregation is meeting while they're listening in. Now, that can become an excuse to stay home when one really doesn't have to. And that's where the core of the problem is. So I want to be very careful not to put any kind of wrong sense of a guilt trip out there. But I think it's important that we simply start with what is worship. And while the sermon is a big part of it, but let's start with the idea that worship is meeting with God. And when you meet with God, God talks to you. And that's a big part of it.
Fundamentally important part of it.
Yep.
Oh, we'll definitely get into the fact that worship has a dialogue to it.
Mm-hmm.
Where God speaks, call to worship, salutation, and we respond. Singing, prayer, confession.
You know, when the day after Pentecost, when the new church was beginning, not that it isn't a continuation of the Old Testament church, but as they embrace Christ as their, they enhanced and they met every day in fellowship with one another. That was important because it's not just between them and the Lord. It's a community of God's people. And I'm not suggesting we meet every day, but it demonstrates the importance that was for God's people.
Well, it seems like this might be a good place to stop this one. We're going to come back and continue this discussion. We do hope that you'll come back and continue with us on From the Classroom. And you can find us, Sermon Audio, search for Heidelberg Theological Seminary, and YouTube, Heidelberg Theological Seminary there as well. And Lord willing, we'll be on iTunes soon, and you can subscribe there. So we hope you'll come back. Thank you for joining us.